Hello and welcome to the Beer Business Finance Podcast, where we combine beer with finance to help you create delicious profits in your beer business. I'm your host, Kerry Shumway. I'm a certified public accountant, a former CFO for a beer distributor, and I love numbers. This podcast will provide you with useful financial guidance that you can implement right away in your beer business to make more money. In addition to this podcast, please visit beerbusinessfinance.com. Here you'll find free tools and resources, information on upcoming courses, and you can sign up to receive the weekly Beer Business Finance newsletter for free. Each week, we cover a specific financial topic to help you improve the financial results in your beer business. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Beer Business Finance Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to talk about strategies that you can use to build a winning sales plan. So sales is number one on your income statement and number one in your hearts, and that's for a good reason, because without sales and sales growth, we are out of business. No doubt you've invested time and money in sales training and selling tools and various techniques for your teams. But today I want to talk about a different approach, really how to use financial literacy as a tool to identify new sales opportunities, create a game plan that you can implement so that you can increase that number one line in your income statement, sales and revenue. So financial literacy is really the ability to read and understand the numbers of your business and to use that knowledge and apply it in different ways, essentially to improve financial results. And improving financial results can look like improving cash flows, profitability, things of that nature. In this context, we want to use it to improve and increase sales. Sales competition is a battle, and finance can be your secret weapon in that battle. So a quick background on me. My name is Kerry Shumway. I'm a CPA, a CFO, and a numbers guy. I spent 15 years as a CFO for a beer distributor, and I'm currently a partner and CFO at Wormtown Brewery in Worcester, Massachusetts. I founded beerbusinessfinance.com as an online resource for beer wholesalers, and I've created a number of financial training courses, which you can find on the site. And those courses range from topics like SKU inventory management, compensation planning, reducing out-of-code beer, and many more. My purpose in creating beerbusinessfinance.com and creating this series of podcasts is really to share what I've learned, shorten the learning curve for you so you can create a financially successful beer distribution business. Because that's what this is all about, is we're trying to find new information, new tools, so that ultimately we can save ourselves time and money. All right, so in this podcast, we're going to talk about sales planning, creating a sales plan. So we'll start with team, timing, and tools, really the fundamentals of any good plan. We'll talk about sales growth using open book management. I feel like this particular tool within the financial literacy umbrella, this open book management, can be a real game changer and a great strategy to engage your employees. And then we'll talk about incorporating those aspects of your business plan, those things like vision, mission, strategy, goals, and objectives, planning for these expenses, identifying those investments that are going to drive revenue. And I'll have some checklists and scorecards for you, which I'll include in the show notes so you can download those and use them in your business as you see fit. So for starting off here, sales planning fundamentals. I think the number one fundamental is really to create a plan on purpose. You know, we want a sales plan that's going to drive revenue. We want to be clear that this is a plan that's going to be used as a roadmap for the entire company to follow, a plan we're going to use every day, not something that we're just creating to put in a binder. It's not something just a box to check, or we're just doing it for a supplier or somebody asked us to do it. This is a sales plan for our business, not for anyone else. And it is with the number one purpose of creating a plan that we can use to increase sales. So a lot of times, you know, we'll do the measurements. You know, we'll do a sales plan of looking at customers and what they've bought in the past and how much we might be able to increase. We may do our sales planning by supplier, brand, SKU, you know, apply various increases there. But what we want to do really, those are outcome goals when we're doing that planning. That's, you know, what result are we trying to get? We want to use some process goals. And process goals really just mean what are we going to do in order to achieve those specific results. So I would recommend as you're creating your plan, do the numbers for sure. You know, if we're going to do a sales plan by account, by brand, whatever level of granularity you're going down to, but make sure you have action plans to support these numbers. How are you going to achieve these things? What specifically is the salesperson, the sales team leader, the sales manager going to do, and with what regularity? And is how does that tie back to getting that sales growth? So number one, plan on purpose and have those action items. Number two is have a business discussion around what you're trying to achieve. Now, oftentimes we'll start with a spreadsheet and we'll start just popping in percentage changes here and there. Take a broader view and look at this from a business standpoint. What are we trying to accomplish here? You know, what are our goals and objectives relative to the market? So while it is about the numbers, that's what we want to see. We also want to talk about the broader business, the broader market, what's going on in the industry, and how we can incorporate that into our plan, how we can quantify those things. So that's number two, begin with a business discussion around the sales plan. Number three is just the basics of get it on paper. We need a basis for the forecast. We need to support the number. We need to have those notes, those action items, those process goals. You know, we need to have that plan so we can compare against it, determine if we're on track, falling short, something to compare back against. And we need to do that variance analysis. So that's number three, is getting it on paper. Number four, I think, is really important. That's using real-time numbers and making course corrections. So very often, when we're looking at financial statements, for example, we're looking at them at the conclusion of when they've actually happened. They're old news by the time we get them. So we want real-time information so we can see what's going on day-to-day, week-to-week, within hitting our goals. Many RAD accounting systems can run this information on a daily basis for you, and it's easy enough to create a dashboard. But definitely important to have real-time numbers so we can keep on track of things in real time. The fifth sales planning fundamental is using what I'll call the three T's: team, timing, and tools. So the team is, when we're creating this sales plan, who do we want to include, and how do we want them to prepare for this project? So be thoughtful about this. You know, who should be around the table? What are those discussions going to look like? These days, maybe around the table is around a virtual table or a Zoom meeting. But regardless, who's the team? Who gets included? What do you need them to prepare for? What information can you give them so that they're ready to roll when the planning starts? Timing, when to start, when to finish is important. We need to have deadlines. So if we're creating a sales plan for the new year, we want to give ourselves enough time to start. We want to have a very focused deadline to finish, and we want to put milestones in between so that we can get a good draft and a good final report and leave ourselves enough time to distribute the information. What I see a lot is that we may start too late, finish too late, and or never fully communicate what the plan is to the people that need to know. So just as a rule of thumb, what I use is if we're trying to create a plan for the new year, say January 1st, I want to start the planning process around about mid-October. I want to have a good draft done by mid-November, and I want to have the final plan done by mid-December in advance of the holidays before people start taking off, and I want to communicate it at that time as well. So everybody's got a couple weeks to digest it before we hit the ground running on January 1st in that example. If you're producing a sales plan for a different time period, you can just determine what makes sense for you. But my recommendation is have those deadlines so everybody knows, you know, when the thing needs to be completed, and leave enough time so you can communicate. A lot of times that last piece, communication, gets dropped off where maybe the sales manager knows, but the team doesn't have their individual goals. It happens a lot. And lastly is tools. You know, having good data, having good models, and considering to keep it simple. So good data, we generally have access to tons of information. It's really just a matter of what's going to be pertinent for this project. Models, here again, there's all sorts of different models that you can use. I'll provide some links to the models that I like for a sales plan. I'll put those in the show notes. And I generally advocate for keeping it simple for a variety of reasons. Number one, if it's simple, it's easy for everybody to understand. And number two, it's more likely we're actually going to get it done. So starting simple, we can always make things more complex. So those are the three T's I like to think about. Team, who should be included and how they can prepare. Timing, setting those deadlines, leaving enough time to communicate the plan. And tools, having good data and good models and starting simple so we make sure that we can get the project done. My approach for sales planning and the detail plan looks a little something like this. I like to start by creating an annual plan and really going high level by product type. So annual by product type, and then I'm going to dig in by supplier. So for example, what I mean by product type is if you're selling, say, beer, wine, non-alcohol, and snacks, as we had in our beer distribution business, that's product type. So I've only got four product types there. Then I want to dig down into those and go by supplier. So I'm obviously going to go by beer by supplier, wine by supplier, and so forth. Then I'm going to get more detailed and look at it by brand and possibly by SKU, depending on how granular we want to get. And then I want to look at it by individual salesperson or market or territory. So that's an annual first kind of high level pass on it. Next, once I dig in on that, I'm going to go monthly. I want to build a model so I can easily spread the annual plan out by the month. And we'll look generally, what we'll look at is historically building the increases or the changes from the prior year. So I've got a prior year 12 month. I'm going to roll that forward to the new year, and I'm going to apply my percentage increases or decreases depending on what the budget, what the plan is showing me. And I want to selling day adjust each of those months. So obviously looking at building a calendar that says, here's how many selling days we have this month versus last year, and building in some formulas so that that can quickly adjust and update so I don't have to do a whole lot of math each time. I'll have my selling day adjustment calculations built into the model. And then I want to create some real-time scorecards again so we can course correct in real time. We can see what's going on. So those scorecards may simply be dashboards that are automated from your route accounting system or what other piece of software you may be using. But that real-time aspect is obviously very important. In building out the details of the plan, I'm a big fan of trends. So I want to look at percentage trends by supplier, brand, SKU, customer, things of that nature. The trend is your friend. It rhymes, so it's true. So we want to look at what have our trends been looking like from a percentage growth standpoint. I want to be aware of any new suppliers or new brands where we might have partial or limited historical data. So those trends, you just need to keep an eye on it. If we're saying, wow, we get trends of 80%, well, we only had the brand for 3 months last year. So we just need to be aware of any new items that might skew those projection. We might get some projection errors. I really like to look at the historical sales by month, a rolling 12-month, rolling 18-month, or even a 24-month. It can really add some great perspective to see what volumes have looked like over that period of time. It can help inform your sales planning going forward. And I want to account for any wild cards that might be coming up in the new year, maybe any new suppliers that we expect to bring on, any new brands, things of that nature. So here I want to talk about a sales planning annual model, and this will be easier to see visually, so I'll put this link in the show notes so you can check this out. But this is really just I try to create a one-pager, and what I want to do is I want to list down the left-hand column, the suppliers that we service, and across the top, I want to plug in my numbers. So I want to know for the full year last year, what did we do for volumes? What was our growth percentage for each supplier? And then I'm going to start plugging in forecasted growth for the new year. What do I expect to see? So for example, if a given supplier is growing at about 2%, okay, at least I have that historical basis. They grew 2% last year. It's unlikely, barring any reasons to the contrary, that they're going to you know, grow 10% next year. It's possible. Maybe they're bringing on new brands, but I just simply want to have a column where I can input forecasted growth, and then it's going to project out the new year's volume. And I'll do that for each supplier. So I have my historical sales data in dollars. I'll have my percentage growth, and then I'll simply have a column for expected growth for the new year. And the spreadsheet's going to do some math and project out that volume in total, and then show me individual suppliers what the forecasted growth is, and then in total across all the suppliers what we're looking at for growth on a company basis. Once that's done on an annual basis, I will again spread it out by month. So I'll forecast the new year by month with selling day adjusted and the growth projected baked into there. And I'll have some historical, so I want to know actual sales by month last year, projected sales by month this year, and what my percentage growth is month over month given the expected organic growth and the impact of the selling day adjustment. Once the plan is put together, we feel like we're in decent shape. We need to have a strategy to communicate the information. So I'll just go through quickly a sales planning communication process that we've used. The first is this concept of just knowing the score, knowing what the plan is. So to know what the plan is, we have to show people what it is. We have to display it. And we can treat it like a scoreboard at a sports game. So put it out there. We don't want to play hide and seek with it. We want people to know what the score is. Next is educating them on how the score works. You know, it may be self-evident, but there may be folks that were never really quite sure how the sales growth, how the plan was put together, how percentage increases work. You know, we don't want to take anything for granted. So really talking through, teaching about, here's how we put the plan together. Here's how the math behind it works. It's not terribly complicated, just making sure that everybody understands and can be educated on how the plan was developed. Next is having that look at past performance relative to the sales growth that we've set. A lot of times, in my experience, the salespeople would be questioning how we come up with an increase on a particular supplier, brand, or market, and showing them the context, the past performance, and why that improvement or increase is expected, and what action items, what process goals that we have that we're going to be putting in place, what we might be investing in order to achieve that goal is helpful. So again, they can kind of see, they don't necessarily have access to the information that the sales managers would have. So showing them that context, past performance, and the reasons and basis for how we're coming up with these new sales forecasts is helpful. Monitoring the score and tracking progress is another piece of the communication puzzle, is really providing those regular updates, as people tend to lose interest. So today, most salespeople will have access to, you know, they have handhelds or can, you know, look up sales reports on their own. So if they've already got that, then this monitoring the score and tracking progress is really up to them. If that's not in place or you handle it differently, just having a system so that you can show folks, here's what the goal is, here's where you stand relative to the goal. We don't want people falling short. And then lastly, really, you know, that feedback loop of when we hit the goal, to celebrate the win and acknowledge, you know, that we've accomplished something here. So that's important, you know, for people to be celebrated there. Next, I want to talk about this concept of open book management. It's a system to communicate the numbers of your business to all of your employees. And this can be implemented in all sorts of different ways. And I have a course on this topic, which will be in the Beer Business Finance membership. But just to give you kind of the flavor of it, when we're creating our sales plan, you know, we'll identify the team, you know, who's included in that team. And it generally is going to be a sales manager, maybe a couple of supervisors or market managers. You might have the CFO or the controller in there, someone to keep track of the numbers. But it generally doesn't get too far outside the actual sales team. So what open book management does, it says, hey, consider having everyone work on the same challenge, in this case, building the sales plan so that we're all pulling in the same direction. And everyone, you know, doesn't necessarily mean the entire company, of course, but it would mean a representative from each department. And why would we consider that? Well, my experience, drivers, as an example, the delivery team, have great relationships with the retail accounts and also can see a lot of what's going on in those accounts from a sales perspective. You know, they see what's turning, they see what's sitting, they see what kind of gets stuffed in the back corner and never, you know, they've got insights that can really help inform a sales plan, and they've got relationships which can really help drive revenue. We may or may not be taking advantage of this, but the delivery team, in the context of open book management, involving them in the sales planning process can really supercharge, you know, that sales growth. Likewise, merchandisers oftentimes can be the invisible part of the business. Like, you know they're there, but do you ever really see them? And we only hear about them when there's problems. But they also, you know, empty shelves, nobody can buy what's there. So really including a merchandising manager, perhaps, in the sales planning process, talking about the importance of obviously making sure the shelves are full, not just because it's their job, but how it impacts, you know, the sales growth, the sales plan for the company, and asking for their input, their feedback. Again, they have different perspectives, can certainly lend that to the planning process. So really what you do is when you're including more people, you're getting more minds working on the same problem, and you're also getting engagement, and perhaps best of all, you're getting buy-in. So everybody feels like they're part of it. It breaks down those silos, because usually with a sales plan, well, that's a sales job. Well, it isn't, you know, because everybody has the opportunity to sell in our beer business. And that's everybody from customer service. You can think of how important that is. The inventory people, super important, of course, to make sure we have the right amount of inventory so we can fill those orders. And as I said, delivery, merchandising, you know, night loaders, making sure, you know, the warehouse team, you know, we're accurately loading trucks. It's important throughout the entire organization. So that's just a quick background, quick flavor on how open book management, sharing information, including a representative from each department within your company, can really create not only engagement and buy-in, but just really great information to build a better sales plan. All right, I'm going to wrap up with this concept of including our sales strategy, and as we're building our sales plan, to make sure we get those expenses included in our regular financial budgets. So for example, what I see happen occasionally is when we're building a sales plan, we'll come up with all these great ideas of things that we want to do that may cost money, and that expense never quite finds its way over to the actual financial plan. So the sales plan, in order to execute it the way we want, we may need to spend money, but we've got to get that into the financial plan. So some examples might include, if we're going to open up a new territory, you know, maybe we're going to need to hire, you know, new people, bring on new equipment. Maybe we need new sales support in the market to achieve the sales plan that we want. Maybe we're going to be bringing on a new product line. Inventory person would need to know about that. Delivery would need to know so they know where to put it at retail. So just being mindful of what are the costs related to these strategies and making sure that they're included in the plan. You know, likewise, if we're going to do some advanced sales training, maybe we want certification for our team. You know, we want to identify what's important, write it out, quantify it, and then make sure it is included in our financial plan. So that's just a kind of a reminder, something that I see occasionally is, you know, we build the sales plan, but come up with all these great ideas, and then we don't have the expenses in the actual budget. So to wrap it up, consider those sales planning fundamentals, the team, who's going to be included, how you're going to prepare them, what do you expect from them, the timing, set those deadlines. It sounds obvious, but it gets missed a lot. We need to have those deadlines. It really focuses the mind, gives us enough time to communicate it. Tools, get the right data, use the right models. Again, I advocate for keeping it simple so people will actually read it, use it, and you'll actually get it done. Take a look at open book management. Even if you borrow some of these tactics, certainly don't have to go full on open book, but can be very informative to include other departments in the sales planning process. And strategy, goals, and objectives. Just make sure if there's plans, expenses, investments we need to make in order to drive revenue, that we've got those included, not just in our sales plan, but in our actual financial budget. So thanks for listening. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me at this email. It's carrie@beerbusinessfinance.com. Go to beerbusinessfinance.com, poke around a bit. There's a lot of free resources there. If you're interested in joining the Beer Business Finance membership, I am offering a free 60-day trial, so you can get in there, check out all the courses, and that offers for a limited time. So if it's of interest to you, go ahead and check it out. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Beer Business Finance Podcast, where we combine beer with finance so that you can improve financial results in your beer distribution business. For more resources, tools, guides, and online courses, please visit beerbusinessfinance.com. And don't forget to sign up for the free weekly Beer Finance newsletter. Until next time, get out there and improve financial results in your beer business today.